Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Little Joe Cocker bringing us back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a visiting with our good friend Grace Marie Turner. Grace Marie is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, president of the Galen Institute. Nobody on the planet knows more about healthcare public policy than Grace Marie. Kings and queens and presidents listen to her when she talks about healthcare reform, and she's our good friend, Grace Marie Turner. Welcome back to the show.
The only problem is, Jim, that the czars don't listen.
The czars don't. That's so funny. You know, I was going to ask you. I'm glad you brought that up. I've been talking this week about the we got a car czar, we got a bank czar.
The other day, there are like 20 or 25 czars.
We got a pay czar. We got an energy czar.
The Russians never had this many czars.
Well, here's the thing, though, Grace Marie. See, you know what happened to the last time the planet Earth had czars? There was a revolution.
Yeah.
And I think we might have to have a revolution, Grace Marie.
Oh, yeah.
Is there going to be a healthcare czar?
There is a healthcare czar.
Who is that?
Absolutely. Nancy Amendola works in the White House.
Okay.
She was going to be Senator Tom Daschle before he wound up with all of his tax problems.
Right, exactly. Oh, okay. Well, okay, you're talking about HHR.
Yeah.
HHS.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that makes that automatically makes the HHS secretary
It actually was going to be Nancy Amendola works in the White House as a health care czar.
Okay.
But it was going to be a sort of a double title for Senator Daschle, that he had a White House title
you.
As well as health and human
as well as HHS. Okay. So we have a health care czar, folks.
Oh, yeah.
So Grace Marie, I want you to take a moment and give us a tour of where the government is. You know, they keep jumping around and proposing this and proposing that. And I follow this as much as I can.
Yeah.
I can't keep up. Tell us what's going on.
You know, if it changes hourly, Jim, on what the things that they're doing, it is outrageous. The president comes out earlier this week and shakes his finger at Congress and says, you all have to get control of this budget and stop spending all this money. And the next day, he says, oh, well, but we don't worry about deficit spending on health care. And
wow.
Then he comes back the next day and he says, but you got to pay attention to deficit spending. The Wall Street Journal today has a piece called Spend, Repent. Spend again, repent.
Yeah.
This is the pattern of this administration. It's crazy. $1.5 trillion in addition to everything else they're spending is on the table as far as deficit spending for health care over the next 10 years.
But that's okay for health care.
Oh, my gracious.
So break it down for us. What is the government proposing in their plan?
Well, the White House has a plan, the House has a plan, the Senate has a plan. The White House and the House of Representatives' plans are very similar, and very aggressively statist, moving a much bigger share of our health sector into the hands of government. Government already controls half of all spending in our health sector, and this is basically going to put all of it. The Trojan horse in all this is something called a public plan,
mm-hmm.
a new government health insurance program that would basically cover everybody who's not covered by existing public programs. It would allow about 150 million Americans to join this new plan, which makes me wonder, when the White House and the president cannot get control of Medicare and Medicaid spending, why would we on earth
right.
want to give them the authority to create another program to bankrupt our company?
Well, not only that, why would we want the government to create a system that would compete against the private
exactly.
sector companies?
There are 1,300 health insurance companies in the country right now. This government plan will put virtually all of them out of business. Karl Rove has another really good piece today in the Wall Street Journal. Everybody needs to read 5 reasons that we should not have this extraordinarily statist health reform plan, and one of them is that you can't reverse it. Once you put those 1,300 companies out of business and tell them, all you guys are now going to be doing is processing claims for the government.
So the Trojan horse part of this is they're saying, oh, you don't have to take the government plan if you don't want to. You can do your own plan, right? Is that what they're saying?
Choice. They're going to say, and that's Americans, when you poll Americans, say, well, sure, why should we put a public plan
mm-hmm.
in the mix? It's just a choice. We're used to choice. They don't understand that 120 million Americans immediately would lose their private health coverage.
Yeah. How would they lose that?
Well, basically, Well, and that's what we really need to talk with our listeners about, because the government's going to require both individuals and companies to provide health insurance.
So that'll be one of the mandates, is that under this program, that they're, what they're proposing, what they want to do is regardless of how you, where you get your insurance, it'll be a law that everybody has to have insurance?
Everybody has to have insurance. Employers have to pay for it. Government's going to dictate what the policy has to include, how much employers have to pay.
So it'll be, we'll all be like New York State.
Well, except that they're going to say employers are going to have, if they're going to survive, no option but to say, well, you know, one of the options is to put my employees in this government plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to price control its rates initially,
right,
and therefore its premiums are going to first appear lower.
Because the government is able to operate at an incredible deficit that none of the health insurance companies can operate at.
And it'll subsidize these health plans, and it will underpay doctors and hospitals,
right,
as it already does on private plans,
right,
to the point that the rest of us have to pick up the bill of something like an additional $1,500 a year for all of us to pay for the underpayment of existing private plans.
Mm.
What is that? What's going to happen when there's nobody to take up that slack? Hospitals are either going to close or completely stop investing in new technology, as we see in European countries. Doctors are going to be so underpaid, they're going to be scrambling even more than they are. The AMA finally has come out and said, we oppose all this.
That's good.
Sitting on the sidelines for way too long.
Right. Hold on to that thought, Grace Marie. We're going to take a quick break. First, when we come back, two things I'm going to ask her is, number one, it seems like a lot of people, including Republicans, are demanding that we have health care reform. That's one thing. The other thing is, what's the alternative to this? Tim Till, right back with Grace Marie Turner. She's the president of the Galen Institute. Stay with us. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Grace Marie Turner. She's with the Galen Institute. And Grace Marie, that's galen.org, right?
Absolutely. And actually, they can take a look at the winners of our video contest.
All right.
We had a video contest called Do No Harm. And, you know, what should Congress do as far
right.
as health reform? And it's really fun. People should go, and they'll see it right on the front page of our website.
So check it out, folks, when you get a chance. Galen Institute, check out there. Galen.org is the website, and it's an outstanding organization. I encourage you to support what the work that she does, she and her organization does. Grace Marie, I keep hearing people say, Republicans and Democrats, we've got to reform health care. This has got to be done. And it's basically, it seems to me that Washington is determined that this is a fait accompli. What do you think?
It's, I think, just this week that the business community is starting to wake up and say, wait a minute, this is not going to work for me. Employers are all saying, we cannot have an employer mandate. As soon as they tell individuals that you're going to have to buy health insurance
mm-hmm.
or get fined if you don't, there's going to be a backlash for that. Health insurance companies are saying, we got to fight it because you're going to put us out of business. Pharmaceutical companies, finally the insurance industry is starting to wake up that this destroys their business model. And there have actually been a number of Republicans that have sent letters with like almost all but one member of the
Olympia,
Senate Finance Committee,
Olympia
the president
Snow.
Saying, no government-run health care program. I won't support the legislation that includes all this.
Senator Olympia Snow out of Maine is the one holdout.
Exactly right.
And she could prevent... Her vote could cause or prevent a filibuster on this issue in the Senate.
Well, which means that she is the one person in the Congress could decide whether or not we have socialized
one
medicine
person.
In this country.
What do you think she'll do? You know her.
I think it's not clear to me.
Yeah.
She's so much independent, going her own way. Maine is a very liberal state, even
yep.
though she's a Republican.
Yep.
But we could get a couple of Democrats to come our way.
Well, we need
Ben
that.
Nelson?
Yep, yep. Ben Hyde-Horst Nelson. Yeah, absolutely. Grace Marie, give us the alternative. We've talked about this many times on the show, but as we stand here in this perfect storm, I consider it. What's the alternative to government taking over our health care?
Well, it's embodied. The ideas are embodied in a bill called the Patients' Choice Act that we actually helped them and others develop a piece of legislation that basically says, you know, we've got plenty of money in our healthcare system right now. If we just spend it more wisely,
if Americans became healthcare consumers instead of just patients,
exactly. And we need to get away from this third party payment system that's shielding costs from everybody else. You know, imagine a mandate where the government's telling individuals you have to have health insurance, but it's telling employers they have to pay for it. A mandate on one person to get something and on a mandate for somebody else to pay for it. What kind of a formula for that is that? For really making sure we get a control of costs and have a properly functioning market in our health sector.
Well, you know, we already have the device that could be a great solution to all this, and that's the health savings account.
Health savings accounts, exactly. But that's one option for people, that if they decide that they want to buy their own health insurance, sure, put some of the money into an account and then get a health insurance policy that's real insurance. But the market is going to come up with so many other creative ways if consumers were in charge of the dollars. So Paul Ryan and others in Congress have proposed legislation that would basically take the money that's already in our health care system and redistribute it so that it's refundable tax credits to individuals to purchase their own health insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
$5,700 for a family toward the purchase of health insurance, replacing and then some the tax benefit that people get invisibly now. Create new markets. Allow people to buy health insurance across state lines. New kinds of groups so that people can have greater efficiency, greater portability, greater security with their health insurance. Doesn't have to be tied to
the
job.
See, folks, what Grace Marie is just telling you, she just described America. What makes America what it is today, what it makes it what it has been in the past, which is human beings having self-determination. The reform that's being proposed out of the government is the opposite of that. It's statist, it's socialistic, it is the government being in charge of more and more of your life and 17% of our economy. So, ladies and gentlemen, you just have to decide. Do you want to have control over your own health care and have a better system, or do you want the government to be making your decisions? Grace Marie, I think it's that simple. I got 20 seconds.
What we've got to do is put patients first. If we're going to do that, we've got to redistribute the money that's already there. Give patients control.
Yeah, yeah. Grace Marie, thanks for being here. Good job today. Keep up
Thank
the
you.
Fight. Ladies and gentlemen, Grace Marie Turner with the Galen Institute. That's galen.org. Check it out. Support their organization. I don't know where we'd be, folks, if we're going to solve this. Grace Marie's doing an awful lot to help us, but you and I have to help her. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.